So everyone always says expectations are everything. And LSU football reports to camp on Wednesday. First practice will be Thursday. So we're getting so close. I think it's time now to set the expectations. But what's even more important, I think, is what is Brian Kelly doing on the inside to ensure that our expectations on the field can be met? We'll break that down and more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast, your preferred podcast platform. Plus, you can also find us on YouTube as well at Locked On LSU. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. You can find me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I post all my LSU takes, college football takes in general. So you can find me there. But first and foremost, LSU will report to camp tomorrow on Wednesday. First official practice will be August 4th on Thursday. So we are so close. You can almost taste it. Shout out to Natasha Bedingfield for that. But I think, you know, before we go into the season, it's important to set expectations for what we think is going to be a good season. You know, what we think is going to be, you know, satisfactory for Brian Kelly's first year, what we think is maybe short of expectations. And that's really hard to set expectations for a first year head coach whenever you don't know who the quarterback is going to be, whenever there are question marks at who's filling in certain positions in the offensive line, whenever there's a question at, you know, what's the rushing game going to look like? You know, is this John Emery Jr.'s job to lose? Is this a running back by committee? How does this cornerback group work together as a group of transfers who've never played together before? There are so many questions going into this season. So how can we fairly evaluate what expectations should be? And I think that starts on the inside. And I want to get into what Brian Kelly expects from his players and how he is going to, or he has already established a culture of that in LSU's locker room. But first and foremost, I want to talk about our expectations for Brian Kelly, because he is beginning officially tomorrow. He's officially beginning his reign as the LSU head football coach in his first season as camp kicks off on Wednesday and Thursday, reporting on Wednesday and first practice on Thursday. And there was one thing that he mentioned when he spoke with LSU boosters, Rotary Club meetings, that sparked something in me that reminded me of something. And I think that this is a fair way to evaluate our expectations for Brian Kelly based off the expectations that he has for himself. So this was Brian Kelly on Thursday. I want to play what he said, and I'll break it down for you.
I don't care where you're from. When you're a football coach and you get an opportunity to be the head coach at LSU, it's really simple for me. 32 years of being a head football coach, I have a plan, and my plan is pretty simple. I've used it pretty much for my entire career. Certainly, I've learned along the way through mistakes that I've made, and I've made the adjustments accordingly to be better at my job. And so you don't have to be from Louisiana or Alabama or Mississippi or Michigan. You need to be aware of what your charge is on a day-to-day basis and what your why is. And my why is to develop 18 to 21-year-olds on a day-to-day basis.
What is your why? I think that's kind of a cliche that we hear a lot of times in sports, but I also think it's very important. I always go back to what Bill Belichick's kind of mantra or slogan is with the New England Patriots, and it's DYJ, do your job. If you don't know what your job is and you don't know what is expected of you, then you can't do your job. And if you can't do your job, I don't care if it's, you know, in a corporate setting or on the football field, then your team won't be successful. So I think that's an important thing here, that Brian Kelly recognizes and acknowledges that his job, his why, football games for LSU. I heard him say that. Again, that was Brian Kelly on Thursday, speaking with LSU boosters. That reminded me of something that he said a couple of weeks ago that really stuck out to me when he said it then.
Coach, I wonder why you feel like you're a great fit for LSU since you haven't been in the South that much. And a corollary question is that, what do you think of Texas and Oklahoma joining an already great conference?
Well, I think fit is about, you know, the ability to run a program, you know, at the highest level. I've done it for 32 years. I've had success at Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Central Michigan, wherever I've been. So, you know, running a program and then, you know, developing players, player development. I think those are the most important thing. And I don't think that needs to be, you know, geographical in a sense. I've gotten to love where I'm at in Baton Rouge. I love the people. They love football. They love family. And they love food. And that fits me really well. So I guess I should have been in the South all along.
So the thing that really stood out to me about both of those clips that I just played is completely shutting down all of this preseason discussion, or the discussion that unfolded after Brian Kelly was hired, about quote-unquote cultural fit. And I think that that was a fair concern when the hire was first made, because those all of our, you know, our first questions, the first thing that we went to, naturally, because LSU went from having a coach who was born and raised in Louisiana, played football at LSU and again at Northwestern State, had a Cajun accent and lived and breathed the state of Louisiana. So moving on from that coach to a coach that coached at Notre Dame in the Midwest, Central Michigan in the Midwest, he's from Boston, a coach that doesn't have any sort of Southeastern ties or even Louisiana ties at that, the cultural fit, quote unquote, was a very fair question. But I think that's continuously been something that's been attached to him since, you know, in the last, let's say, 8 months that he's been hired. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm tired of it. I said it before SEC Media Days. One thing, like some things that I wanted to hear from Brian Kelly at SEC Media Days and things that I didn't want to hear asked by Brian Kelly or addressed by Brian Kelly. And that was the fake accent or the dancing with the recruits or the cultural fit. Because I think it's such a tired excuse. Because if LSU starts off the season 0-1 against Florida State, if LSU, let's say, goes 6-6 on the season, barely makes a bowl game, doesn't show a lot of promise for the future, which I don't think is going to happen, but at this point, I think there are a lot of different possibilities on the table. If that, all of those things unfold, if LSU football falls short of expectations, our critique isn't going to be that Brian Kelly didn't have ties to the Southeast. Our defense of Brian Kelly isn't going to be, well, what do you expect? You know, he's not from the South. He's not a cultural fit. No, that's not going to be the defense, and that's not going to be the excuse, and that is not going to be the thing that I think all LSU fans or college football fans look to if LSU is not successful. It's going to be the coaching, it's going to be the coordinating, it's going to be the developing, it's going to be the recruiting, it's going to be how were those players that you evaluated and brought in from the transfer portal, how have you been able to integrate them into this team and into this culture? So I appreciate Brian Kelly taking this narrative of not a cultural fit and turning it into something positive. Hey, he's had success at several different programs. He's had success developing players year in and year out. And I'm not saying that Brian Kelly is guaranteed to have the same success at LSU than he's had at Central Michigan and at Notre Dame. I'd like for him to have even more success at LSU. But I'm saying this cultural fit narrative is getting tired, and I appreciate him turning it around and making it a good thing. That, hey, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter that Nick Saban came from Michigan State to LSU and then won a national championship and is now one of the most winningest coaches in college football. That doesn't matter. Winning games, winning championships, recruiting good players and developing them to be even better players and getting them into the NFL, that's what matters. And that's what we're going to look back on the Brian Kelly era, is how many games did you win, not how did you fit the culture. Albeit Louisiana culture is incredibly important. Recruiting in the state of Louisiana is incredibly important. However, it's not everything. The important thing is winning. So how exactly does Brian Kelly intend to do that? What is, while we talk about culture, what's the culture that he's tried to instill in this locker room? He addressed that on Thursday, and I want to break that down coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about LinkedIn. So if you're trying to hire the right people for fall, if you're bringing new people into your team or to help your small business fire on all cylinders, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier for you to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. It's incredibly easy to do this with LinkedIn Jobs. You can create a free job post in just minutes, and you'll reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then all you have to do is add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. They've got simple tools like screening questions. They make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. No sense in reviewing all of these applications that don't fit your very specific criteria. And it's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Plus, did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Like I said, LSU football will report to camp on Wednesday. First practice is on Thursday. It's happening. Football is happening. Football is back. I've been out at NFL training camp over the past couple of weeks, so I've gotten the bug a little bit, and I'm just ready for college football to kick off as well. But Brian Kelly has a difficult job at hand, not just trying to turn around any of the damage that was done from the former coaching staff and, you know, kind of instill this solid foundation in the locker room, but he also has a difficult job doing it as a first-year head coach, trying to turn things around quickly for a fan base that expects excellence from their football team. So Brian Kelly spoke with LSU boosters this past Thursday and laid out his plan. Not on the field, not X's and O's, and not what the plan is for Florida State, but what the plan is, has been, and will continue to be to ensure success, not just against Florida State and not just against Mississippi State a couple weeks after, and not just against Alabama every year, but how to instill this foundation to ensure continued success week in and week out. Here's a quick overview from Brian Kelly about what his expectations are for the locker room and how he's attempting to execute that.
So when we talk about our mission, we lay down the vision, and what we do is we build traits in our players, traits of excellence on a day-to-day basis. Every single day, we're working on habits that our players will have on a day-to-day basis, so they're doing the little things the right way. So you're not scratching your head going, why did he jump offside on fourth down? Why did he blow that coverage? As we're working on those habits of doing the little things the right way every single day. So my toughest days are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm going to sit back with you on Saturday. Enjoy the game.
Cute little joke there from Brian. I like it. And a lot of coach speak there, traits of excellence. A lot of, if you're familiar with very Butch Jones-esque, you know, brick by brick, energy vampires, all of the kind of coach speaky, you know, buzzword little spiel thrown in there. But I think at its core, it's an important message, especially because I always compare this new coaching staff to the coaching staff prior to Brian Kelly, the Ed Orgeron era. And I think that discipline and poor habits contributed to a lot of the downfall after the 2019 national championship season, because the discipline didn't come from the top. It wasn't consistent. The game plan wasn't there. The expectation day in and day out, whether it's practice, whether it's the first day of training camp, or whether you're going out on the field to play Auburn in the middle of the season, the expectations are the same. The mission remains the same. And this is what Brian Kelly kind of broke down as his mission, the three pillars, as he calls them. One being having the resources for, quote, high-performance organizations. So what is that? That's, you know, consistently successful teams, consistently competitive teams. It's first with inside the locker room and the coaching staff and the support off the field that then translates on the field. He mentions staff that can develop players. And he mentioned earlier, the clip that I played earlier in the podcast, knowing your why. That's important for the head coach. That's important for the coordinators. That's important for all the guys on the sideline. But that's also important for each and every player stepping into the locker room, is knowing their why. What's your job? Why are you doing that? Because just executing your job is much different and is much more shallow than understanding the role at hand and why you play a specific role. So I think that's important. He also, you know, mentions support from the athletic director, support from President Tate, support from boosters, things like that. That's not something that I think that's exclusive to this coaching staff. In fact, I know it's not. Support from the top has always existed for LSU football, but I think it's understanding that support trickles down into the locker room. And player development was something that isn't just in that pillar, but also it's a theme throughout the three pillars of a high-performance organization that Brian Kelly cited here. The second one that I think is incredibly important is his emphasis on player-led teams, that successful teams have a player-led culture, that the locker room needs to be upheld from the players themselves and holding the players accountable, that a team can't be successful if it's just the coordinator holding you accountable, if it's just the head coach holding you accountable. It means more, and it's just different when it comes from within the locker room. Whenever the people that are holding you accountable are on the field with you, when you're running plays with the guys who hold you accountable, I think it's important having that support coming from within. So a player-led team and empowering players to take on leadership roles, I think is important. And I think it's important to the health of a team. And I think that's something that you may roll your eyes and you say, doesn't matter if, you know, if you're not beating Alabama year in and year out. I understand that that's the end goal, but I don't think that you can necessarily get there whenever your culture isn't there, whenever the leadership isn't there, whenever it's constantly the coaches or the coordinators, or it's coming from the top, the accountability is coming from the top. You can't withstand continued success whenever accountability doesn't come from all angles and from all areas. And the third thing, the third pillar that Brian Kelly cited on Thursday, was a positive teaching environment. He said that every player wants to feel coached and developed in a very positive and open and accepting and inviting way. He also said that the coaching staff wants to be demanding, but never demeaning, but to never break down a player's confidence, to make sure that all criticism is constructive criticism and it's not just yelling in a player's face, to make sure that everyone is learning, to make sure that, you know, we're going to ask a lot of you, like we're going to get your ass now, but we're never going to ask something of you that we wouldn't ask of someone else, that we wouldn't ask of ourselves. And I think that's important when building trust. And that's a big key here, especially in year one, when you have a lot of spillover of players that were in the Orgeron era. It could potentially even be your starting quarterback in Miles Brennan. It could be John Emery Jr. It could be Jack Besh and B.J. Ojulari and Kayshon Boutte, all of these players that developed a trust system and trusted the Ed Orgeron era enough to commit to play football there and play football there, you know, for multiple years for some of those guys. So developing trust within this new coaching staff, I think, is very important. But I think that comes from, you know, teaching and coaching and always framing things in as positive of a way as possible. So I think all three of those things, the biggest thing that really comes away from me is player empowerment and development. That is how you build a championship culture. That is what I look to as the massive drop-off after the 2019 season. I understand that LSU lost a ton of players in the NFL draft, and if you can't continue to, you know, bring in talent, or if you're losing your veteran guys and you're kind of turning players over year in and year out, that's incredibly difficult. But also that comes from development as well. I look to Alabama. I mean, they have players taken in the draft every year. I look to Georgia. They had more players taken in the draft this year than any other team in college football. But Georgia's still favored to win the East. Georgia still has great odds to win the national championship. Now we'll see how that turns out. I'm not necessarily as high on Georgia as I think a lot of other national talking heads or college football insiders may be. But I think that just goes to show the fact that those programs, the Alabamas and the Georgias, develop players. And that's why you don't see a drop-off whenever their starting quarterback, starting running back, starting wide receiver all go in the first round. It's because you got a next man up. It's because you develop that player from the second that he stepped into the locker room. And now that player is ready to take on a starting role. So I think player development and player empowerment are the biggest key takeaways from Brian Kelly's mission. And that's the foundation. Winning is what you build on top of that. But I don't think that you can have one without the other. But coming up next, got a little bit of LSU baseball news, a little bit of an LSU football chaser to end the show on. So we'll get into that coming up next. LSU adds one, but a few go away as well. So kind of a net positive there. So I want to get into that coming up next. Before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. And if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, then you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys, and you don't want to do that. And there's a new flavor with the Built Bar Puffs. They're delicious, indulgent cookie dough. It's covered in chocolate, just like all Built Bars and Built Puffs are. And it is absolutely delicious. So let me introduce you to your new favorite, the Cookie Dough Chunk Puffs. They've got a lovely texture. They're not overly filling, not overly sweet. They've got real cookie dough chunks. And of course, covered in 100% real chocolate. Now, one of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, because I know whenever I make cookies, I don't go much further than the cookie dough because I end up just eating the cookie dough. But it's not healthy for me when I do that. But the Built Bar Puffs, the cookie dough flavor, they're healthy for you. The cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. So these will keep you full all day long. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be a perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. I recommend that. That's what I do. Plus, like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. They're healthy and they're tasty. They've got a light, fluffy texture. They are so delicious. And what is great about Built Bars, all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. They've got a ton of health benefits. It's good for your hair, your skin, and your nails. So you know that when you're eating something that tastes really good, you're also eating something that is good for you. So go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. So some quick LSU baseball news. One giveth and one taketh away. I will start on the bad news. Carter Young, who was a LSU baseball transfer in from Vanderbilt, signed with the Orioles. He was drafted by the Orioles in the 17th round of the MLB draft. He signed with the Orioles in the wee hours right before the signing deadline. So LSU announced on Twitter, they released on Friday all of the players, the transfer players that they had coming in. They announced the five transfer players, and Carter Young was on it. So that to me was the message that, hey, Carter Young is not going to sign with the Baltimore Orioles and is going to return to come to LSU, return to college baseball, and potentially enter the MLB draft later on. But nope, just a couple hours later, he did end up signing with the Baltimore Orioles. So what does that mean? My biggest question was, okay, now what does that mean for this LSU infield? Because not only is Carter Young, not only is he signing with who he was drafted by in the MLB, but also Jack Pineda, the Baylor transfer who is an infielder, also Kate Doty, is leaving to the MLB draft as well. So that's three guys that you're kind of counting on to add depth to the infield. And of course, you're adding NC State's Tommy White. That's a huge addition. So my question now is, what is this infield this infield battle, position battle look like? You know, you've got Trey Morgan at first. You could probably assume Tommy White at third. Jordan Thompson returns. So is he going to snap that starting shortstop role? I think it's interesting. You've also got Gavin Guidry who could compete for that shortstop role as well. So this infield positional battle, I don't think is going to be as robust or as competitive as maybe I thought 2 to 3 weeks ago. But you've still got depth, just not as much depth as I initially thought. But again, Carter Young, Vanderbilt transfer into LSU, will not even step foot in LSU because he's heading to Baltimore to pursue his MLB contract. But one taketh away, but one giveth as well, because the transfer portal has been awfully kind to LSU baseball this offseason. Paul Skeens from the Air Force Academy has decided to transfer to LSU. He announced that via Twitter on Thursday. So Paul Skeens is an unbelievable talent because he's an incredibly talented pitcher. He looked last year, he was 10-3 with a 2.73 ERA. He had 96 strikeouts in two instances with 10 plus strikeouts in a single game, which is absolutely astronomical. But not only can he get it done on the mound as well, he's also really incredibly talented at the plate as well. He had a 3.14 batting average. And also, if that's not enough for you, he also played catcher. He joined Matt Moscona on after further review. He said that Fridays he would pitch, Saturdays he would bat, and Sundays he would catch. So there's literally not much that he can't do. But he also mentioned that he does not want to catch, and I don't blame him. You know, whenever your future is most likely on the mound, you don't want extra stress on your body playing the catcher position. But that's a huge addition to LSU, not just at the plate. I mean, look at the sluggers that LSU is going to have. You know, adding Tommy White and Paul Skeens, both really talented batters. But also LSU adding much, much needed depth at the pitcher position, because that was ultimately LSU's downfall, was this bullpen. There was just not enough arms, not enough depth in the bullpen. But Paul Skeens will join UCLA transfer Thatcher Hurd and Vandy transfer Christian Little, which is bolstering up this bullpen big time. Paul Skeens, first team All-American, certified two-way player, a baby Shohei Ohtani, if you will. I'm so really excited to see what he can bring to this LSU team. But that is going to do it for me today. Coming up tomorrow, again, LSU football reports to camp tomorrow. So I will lay out what I expect to see in camp on the first day on Thursday and some positional battles that I'm excited to follow as camp rolls out. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. You can make Locked On SEC your second listen.